Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that. Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. Going right to the front lines of history in the making. And right now, we're going to go to the lines themselves. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick of Madison?
Welcome back, Matt.
Thank you.
The Republican base that's still so into Trump, I've come to a conclusion. Now we find this Cyber Ninja thing. They actually found 360 more votes in Arizona. Here's a guy that lost both times, if you want to go by the raw vote. Twice impeached, lost the House, lost the Senate. He's nothing but a loser, and you still want to follow him. The only conclusion I can come to with these people, you are certifiably insane if you want to follow this guy. It just doesn't, none of this makes any sense. And now this stuff with these subpoenas going out, we're finally getting to that. I mean, what does he have on these people, Matt?
Right. No, you're making a good point. But here's the problem. Something like 51% of the Republican Party, when they're polled, say that they think he should be their nominee in 2024. Now, that may be partially name recognition. I understand that. And it may be partially the fact that the others are so bad, you know, DeSantis, Cruz, Hawley. I mean, you gag when you say their names, but that is the fact. And then you look at it nationwide, and there is something like somewhere in the 30s, 35, 38% who support the guy. And right now there are, it obviously breaks down Republican, Democratic, but this big lie of his has taken root to the point where something like a third of the country, maybe a little more, thinks that 37% thinks that he won the election. Now, we can say that they're all crazy, but you can't really say that about a third of our country. These are our people who work with us. They're people who are our relatives or our friends, people who serve within the military, that kind of thing. You know, they're not insane. And what it is they are, they've fallen for his, he's a demagogue, they've fallen for it. And he repeats a lie often enough that some people believe it. But that is the sad fact of the matter. And we have our work cut out for us to make this thing right. Now, one good thing is there are increasing numbers of Republicans who will never vote for Trump. If they are stupid enough to nominate Trump, assuming he doesn't get indicted before that, he's a toxic blemish on their brand. But the problem is that all of their other candidates, the DeSantis's, the Cruz's, the Moscow Mitch's, the McCarthy's and the rest, leaders and candidates, Hawley's, they're no good, none of them. And when you occasionally have somebody in the Republican Party whom I respect, even if I don't agree with them on every vote, like a Liz Cheney or an Adam Kinzinger, they get knifed by their own party. And so either you suck along with Trump or you get knifed. That's what's happening. So it's important for the Democrats, frankly, to increase their majorities in the House and the Senate. And right now, that's, I think, what everybody is working towards. So, Dick, thanks very much for calling in. You raised the issue of the subpoenas. The January 6th committee did issue subpoenas for some of Trump's closest aides. Meadows, his chief of staff, Mark Meadows, former North Carolina congressman. Steve Bannon, who's just a general gadfly, but an odd duck, a really odd duck, but he had a lot of influence with Trump, who was criminally charged for embezzling money from a fund he raised supposedly to build a border wall, and he helped himself with some of the cash. Trump pardoned him, so he is at large. He is now at large, and he's been subpoenaed. Two things on that before we go to our next topic. One of them is that if they claim executive privilege, the executive privilege now belongs to Biden, not Trump. And Biden has signaled he's not going to invoke it to protect Trump, obviously, and he's turning documents over to the committee. And number two, Adam Schiff came out with a statement that's very important, very important. Did you ever wonder why, when Trump was president, people would blow off subpoenas? Yeah, they don't show up. They don't give documents, and they got away with it. If you did that regularly, you would be criminally charged. The reason is that Trump controlled the Attorney General's office. First he had Sessions, then crooked William Barr. Crooked William Barr would not permit prosecutions. Now, Biden controls the Justice Department. Merrick Garland is the Attorney General, and Schiff has said that if these people blow off their subpoenas, if Meadows, for instance, Bannon, and a few of the other pieces of work blow off their subpoenas, they may be subject to criminal prosecution. So you know what they're going to do? If they show up, they're going to sit there. They can't possibly testify, because if they lie, it's perjury. They'll go to prison. Michael Cohen was indicted partially because he lied to Congress. And then secondly, if they tell the truth, they're going to get indicted anyway for what they did, for sedition. So most criminal defense lawyers would look at that and say they can invoke the Fifth Amendment. And they can. They can. Constitutional privilege. Simply say, I refuse to answer on the grounds that might incriminate me. The problem for the Republican Party is you have guys sitting there on national TV saying that. That's what mobsters say in the grand jury. That's not what upstanding citizens and government say. Upstanding government citizens. So they're between a rock and a hard place, and I think Schiff should follow up. If these guys blow off these subpoenas, prosecute them. Prosecute them. And if Merrick Garland won't do it, get a new attorney general. I think at some point he will do it. The second most, maybe the tied with the first most important issue, financial issue in the Congress right now, the deficit, increasing the debt limit is paramount, because we're going to run out October 1st. And when I say run out, we ran out in August, but accounting tricks have kept us alive. October 1st, people are going to start not being paid. And it is wrong to say that FBI agents shouldn't be paid like last time, or the Coast Guard shouldn't be paid. That's wrong. That should not be happening. People put in a day's work, they should be paid. But the other one is infrastructure, and there is a civil war in the Democratic Party on infrastructure. I want to unpack that. I think it's very important. There are increasingly two Democratic parties. One of them is the regular Democratic Party. The other one are the so-called progressives, who cluster around the Working Families Party. All of them, all of those people run as Democrats. AOC, the Squad, they all run as Democrats. There is a progressive caucus in the Congress, in the House, 96 members. About 35 of them are hardcore. The rest of them are just opportunists who go, I'm a progressive, we bad. Remember that, you know, Gene Wilder, we bad. You know, we are progressive. About 60 of them are that way. They'll fold like a cheap suit, and they will vote for the Democratic point of view. But the other 35 say they will not. Pramila Jayapal is the head of it, the Squad, and the rest of them. And they're going, we're not going to vote for the $1.2 trillion hard infrastructure bill, which has already passed the Senate with 50 Democratic votes and 19 Republican votes, including Moscow Mitch. It's teed up, ready to go. Shovels in the ground. Our infrastructure is going to hit repair deadlines in about 2 weeks. Just vote for it. It's good. They all support it. And then continue to work on the $3.5 trillion. Manchin's a problem. Sinema's a problem. They say they won't do $3.5. They already voted for $2 trillion and $900 billion, respectively, for anti-COVID measures. It'll get done. But there is a promise in the House that hard infrastructure will be voted on by September 27. September 27 is the next couple of days. Nancy Pelosi doesn't have the votes right now. Progressives say they won't vote for it. They're holding it hostage to get the soft infrastructure according to their taste. But if it goes down, that's a slap to Biden, and a lot of them are riding on Biden in the new election. So Pelosi and Biden are going to have to work their magic. They're going to have to work their magic. The fact of the matter is that Bernie Sanders and 11 progressive senators said don't vote for the hard infrastructure. They're wrong. They're damaging the country, and they're damaging the Democratic Party. They're idiots. Vote for the hard infrastructure, and then you turn around and continue to work on the other one. What could happen is nothing gets voted on. Luke is shaking his head. Luke is a progressive from Madison. I like Luke, and I respect Luke. But here's the fact. This broadcast is coming out of Milwaukee. This is where the Democratic Party is. You see, it's not on Mifflin Street, and it's not on Willie Wash. And the Democrats want hard infrastructure. We want shovels in the ground, and we'll get to the rest real well, real soon. Going to a break. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.